We've made it to the end of our legal and policy dev room. If you're here, you really like, I think most of you that are here have been here for most of the day. We've had so many amazing discussions and it's really run the gamut. So what we normally do at the end is we just take a moment for us as the organizers to react to some of the talks that happened today, talk about what we think are some of the important issues that maybe weren't covered during the talks, and then to like address topics that any of you may have. So where should we start? Hot topics or reactions to talks?
Whatever you like.
All right. Well, I will
dive through the day a bit first, or then
I don't know. Shall I?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Then
it's very boring to hear us have to figure out our logistics.
Yeah, a bit. I mean, maybe what? So to sum up a bit the day, this is what we've done the last times as well. For me, it was super interesting that there are more positive vibes than we had like 2 years ago, I'd say. And this is very good to see that there is like a mixture of activism, but also lobbyism, that there are legal activities, and that people are trying to get active and that they are successful with this. And in this regard, I think we should also talk about your honorably doctorate you just got a few days ago from the University in Leuven, and I think that's also something we should applaud to for your amazing work you've done on free software in the last, or in your life, and so that's why I think that's also something why we should be more positive in all of these questions, and Bradley wants to jump in, so normally the pessimistic one.
Daring to embarrass Karen a little bit further, I think one of the interesting connections with why she got the honorary doctorate was because the students of the university in Leuven are able to vote for who gets the honorary doctorate, one of the honorary doctorates each year. And the students, some of whom are in this room, helped organize for many years to really get her on the ballot, which she finally was elected on the ballot and was given this honor. And that kind of connects up with something that I was trying to say in my talk, which is I think I'm very hopeful. Alexander's right. I'm the most pessimistic person in free software, generally speaking. But I'm very optimistic about this generation who are just coming of age in university right now. I think they're much more interested in building a life that's not merely just doing some tech job or just being part of some corporate machine. And my generation wasn't like that. I was the weird one who didn't want to do that. But it seems like the weird ones in your generation are the ones who actually want to get some corporate job. So that's really good to see.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something that echoed. For those of you who are conservancy sustainers, you will have gotten an email from me at the end of the year, like just reflecting on how much has changed. And I really think that we are in this very, very different time. I would say as recently as 5 years ago, it was hard to explain to people about why they should care about their software. You know, that having control over your technology was something that nobody really considered very much. And when we gave talks, we had to talk about all of the, you know, vulnerabilities that had been exposed, things that most people hadn't heard about. And we're living in a very different world now. Living in a world where everybody understands that these issues are important. I think that the world is so ready to dig deeply into the ideas of software freedom in a way that they haven't before, and that's affecting a lot of the policy work. When I spoke to officials at that university, and when I go speak generally, I find that people in positions of power are much more ready to listen. It's in part because of young people being motivated by this, and for everyday people realizing that their phones have been surveilling them, that all of the technology that they rely on is in fact behaving in ways that they had never expected. And so there's so much opportunity now, and there's so much potential to make policy.
I think it's really exciting to consider this challenge of making users more sensitive and care more about free software. And the talks that we heard today about app stores, I think, were really promising that, you know, perhaps we can imagine a future where smartphone users, that use applications can like know about the apps that they're installing before they install them, much in the same way you might look at nutrition facts on some food at the supermarket before you actually purchase it. Does it contain healthy ingredients? Does it have fat? Does it have sugar? Well, is your software free software? Can it be reproducibly built? Is there a link to the source code? So I think that those are really interesting questions, and perhaps these alternative app stores can give an opportunity to do that, where you know we can tag software with, you know, these features that we care about.
Yeah, but while food comes with a list of ingredients, it doesn't come with the food bill of materials. And I've been told that unless something has a bill of materials, it's completely useless. So does that mean food is useless, like software is?
Well, that's an interesting analogy. Maybe we don't have an exact bill of materials for food, do we? And we seem to get by okay.
We're doing okay.
We're doing okay.
It's such a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how we ended up with food now, but to be honest,
because everything is a free software issue.